Everybody, and welcome to the Shots and Tenere NFL podcast from FTN for Thursday, July 30th, 2026. I am Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN. He is Mike Tenere. You know him from his newsletter called The Two Deep Zone, and you know him from this podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the NFC South, the wackiest division in the NFL, the weakest division in the NFL, where any team can win, although if you're watching us live on YouTube right now, you can see we definitely have a favorite. Our projections in the brand new FTN Football Almanac 2026 like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the division about half the time, then the Panthers about a quarter of the time, and it has the Falcons and Saints falling off a bit from last year. These teams have very easy schedules. All of them do, in part because they play each other and in part because they play the AFC North, where when we get to the AFC North, you'll discover we're not as high on Baltimore, I think, as conventional wisdom is, and Pittsburgh is going to decline. And so we don't think the AFC North is that great either. They play the NFC North. The NFC North is good.
Our projections seem to line up with what the house says. The Buccaneers are favorite to win the division. I think they're getting plus 164 odds. I don't love them, but they do match up with what we're saying.
Yeah. So let's talk first about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have 9.3 average wins in our simulations and make the playoffs about 61% of the time. DVOA ranks them 11th. Projected on offense, 23rd on defense, 29th on special teams, and 19th overall. Their offense was 7th 2 years ago,
right?
But dropped to 18th last year while the defense and special teams remained constant. So basically what it's seeing is a bit of a rebound. And I think, you know, Baker Mayfield has talked about the idea that he was injured for much of the year, but it wasn't on the injury report, and that he'll be healthy this year, and that their offense, even without Mike Evans, that their offense should rebound, you know, once Mayfield is healthy. He had 4.8% passing DVOA before Tampa Bay's bye week in week 9, minus 11.6% after Tampa Bay's bye week.
And he got pulverized in the Rams game. I forget if that was right before or right after the bye, but he was not the same afterwards. They were also without Evans much of last year. They were without Bucky Irving much of last year, Chris Godwin much of last year. It was like a rotating cast of who he had available to them. That impacted the offense, but the Bucs fell apart at the end of the season, I think on both sides of the ball, and that's one of the things that has me more skeptical of this team than maybe our projection suggests.
Yeah, I think you're a little sort of personality skeptical.
Yeah.
Like, can the coaching staff get these guys back to where they were 2 years ago? Kind of skeptical. Like,
right.
Like more about motivation than ability.
Yeah. Evans is gone. Levante David retires. Now Vita Vea sounds like he wants out as much as he wants more money. And these are some of the core guys that we think of as Buccaneers, as holdovers from the Tom Brady era. They're going out the door. The guys coming in aren't as impressive.
Yeah, one of the big stories is Baker Mayfield's contract. Mayfield apparently is going to play out till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be a free agent, which probably will make him a lot of money. Because if you think about who needs a quarterback, whoever doesn't get one in next year's draft is going to end up signing Baker Mayfield.
Steelers 2027, although it might also be franchise tag 2027. Very interesting set of possibilities with Mayfield.
On defense, they brought in guys, Reuben Bain, the first-round pick, edge rusher, Alex Anzalone from Detroit, replaces Levante David, Josiah Trotter, the second-round pick, replaces the overmatched Servassier Dennis, Ashawn Robinson is here. I don't know if you know this. He is about 30 years old and looks like he's 80.
Yes.
Ashawn Robinson, of course, came into the league looking like he was 40 years
That's
old,
right.
Very famously. Jamel Dean is gone. He was our best cornerback last year, according to Coverage DVOA. But Coverage DVOA is very inconsistent from year to year, so I don't completely fault them for letting him go. Benjamin Morrison, moves in to a starting role opposite Zion McCollum, and I'm not that excited about that pair.
No, it's not. Morrison was hurt a lot of last year. They brought in Keontae Scott, a fourth-round pick, who's a slot specialist. He's an absolute slot specialist, so he's going to be in that kind of role. McCollum really struggled last year.
Yeah, he was not good. He was not good. So yeah. so they should have a pass rush. I mean, it's Todd Bowles.
Yes.
They'll bring lots of guys all the time. Right. But the coverage may not be that great. And Vita Vea wants a new contract, which sounds like the kind of thing that ends up with Vita Vea getting a new contract, but it might end up with him being traded, and their run defense would be a real problem. And they were first last year at adjusted line yards. And without Vita Vea, they are not doing that.
Right. And I keep going back to Mike Evans taking less money to leave. And if Mike Evans is taking less money to leave, that goes back to the personality issues. And, you know, is everybody on board and everybody feeling like this is a sinking ship situation? You're right. They're going to have a pass rush. But one of the big problems last year is the coverage behind it. There were so many lapses, so many mistakes. And I don't know if that gets corrected by putting young guys in the secondary.
I mean, I want to point out that the projections in the Almanac do not think the Buccaneers are great. I think that, what are they, 19th overall? It's just there are 19 teams that are above zero, 19 right. teams that are above average, because, as I've said a couple of times, the worst teams this year are so bad that there are more good teams than there are bad teams, because the bad teams drag it all down because they're so bad. So, but the Bucs are not that high. They're not that much above average. It's just in this division with that schedule, they end up as the pretty clear favorite.
And what's funny is I'm talking about all the bad news right now for the Buccaneers. Just wait till we cover all the bad news for all the other teams.
Yes. Speaking of which, before we get to the Carolina Panthers, I will point out that if you are watching us live, which we do noon Eastern on Thursdays, you can make comments and ask questions on our YouTube feed. The Carolina Panthers, 7.7 mean wins, 33% of the time they make the playoffs. They, of course, won the three-way tiebreaker last year to represent this division in the playoffs at 8-9. DVOA projections have them, I think, about the same as last year. 21st on offense, 29th on defense, 18th on special team, and 24th overall. The Panthers were the 10th worst team by DVOA to make the playoffs since 1977, which shouldn't shock you. They had a losing record.
Right.
Losing record teams are usually not good teams among, you know, compared to other teams that make the playoffs.
Right.
And let's talk a little bit about the injuries, because they already lost Nick Skorton, who was one of their top edge rushers, to a torn ACL, and then Chris Brazel, who was, I think, a third-round pick wide receiver, to a torn LCL that'll cost him half the season.
Yes, Chris Brazel is out. He's going to miss the start of the regular season. He's going to be out for all of camp. That has them looking at a receiving core of Tet McMillan, who's just back from an offseason injury, Jalen Coker, who signed a big contract in the offseason, and Xavier Leggett looks like he's back to try and show why they drafted him in the first round. That's significant. Also, both of their tackles have situations right now. Tyler Moton is out indefinitely. He has blood clots. And Ike Ekwonu got hurt, I believe, in the playoff game or in week 18.
Yeah, I think in the playoff game. And so they signed Rashid Walker from the Packers, and he's now left tackle. And they drafted a tackle, so isn't that convenient? They were already prepared for Moton to leave after this year.
Yes.
So Monroe Freeling is the right tackle. He's the first-round pick.
Right, and Freeling might not be 100% ready in terms of readiness. He's a big, toolsy prospect. Also, now there's no depth on that offensive line.
Yeah, and the other thing I should say about their offense is Rico Dowdle is gone, and Jonathan Brooks is hopefully healthy. He's been gone 2 years, and they keep saying he's healthy, and he's in camp, and he's playing, and he'll share the running back role with Chuba Hubbard, just to annoy fantasy people. But as the chapter in the Almanac, I think, wisely points out, the big story of the Panthers season is, what is Bryce Young?
Yeah.
The best result for the Panthers season is that Bryce Young takes a big step forward and this team wins the division with a winning record and is impressive. The second best result for the Panthers season is that Bryce Young takes a step backwards and is terrible, and they know that they have to replace him after this year. The worst result for the Panthers season is that it's just like last year.
And here's the thing. Bryce Young is such a consummate professional and high-effort guy that it could be just like last year, where he will not make enough mistakes to take the step back, but he has the athletic limitations that will prevent him from taking the step forward, in addition to the fact that they've got injuries. And we're right back to where we started from, where we have this guy who's the 19th best quarterback or whatever he is in the NFL for this team that's hanging around just under 500, and the team has to make that big financial decision.
On defense, they added guys, right? Yes. They added Devin Lloyd, who had the great year last year, even if you assume that the interceptions are not going to be the same. Jalen Phillips, we can talk about whether he was overpaid, but he still brings value. He's still a really good edge rusher. And they added a second-round pick, a nose tackle named Lee Hunter.
Yeah.
So you would think the projection system doesn't think their defense is going to be that lot better, but from the personnel, you would think their defense is going to be a little bit better. The secondary basically stayed the same. You know, J.C. Horn, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson playing better than I think anyone thought he had a right to play, given that he's like an older veteran. Their defense may not be that bad.
It's one of those defenses that is hard to evaluate because they're playing the Falcons and the Saints so often. You did have, you know, really good games and good performances against the Rams, against the Packers. So there's hope there. But it's hard to evaluate. And Skorton was a guy who was coming on late in the year. I'd feel a little better about it if I thought they had edge rushers, dueling edge rushers with Skorton and Phillips.
Yeah. One of our watchers says, is Bryce Young's athletic limitation his height?
Yes.
Yeah, basically. the Panthers, by the way, really need Jalen Phillips. They rank dead last in pressure rate for three straight seasons, 2023 through 2025, dead last in pressure rate each season. So if they actually get some pass pressure with Jalen Phillips, with Princely Umamalin, you would think that they're going to be at least a better defense, not, you know, better somehow.
You nailed Princely Umanayan. You nailed the pronunciation. I call him Princely Purple Uranium, which is not great, but like you delivered it. And you know, he's a good prospect. Maybe he'll be able to step out.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. The third team in our projections is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Atlanta Falcons have 6.7 mean wins. And they make the playoffs right now in 20% of our simulations. Their DVOA projections are 26 on offense, 30 on defense, 25 on special teams, and 29th overall. Now, this is a drop.
Okay.
Atlanta was actually the best NFC South by DVOA, the best team in the NFC South by DVOA last year, 19th, narrowly ahead of Tampa Bay, which was 20th. The system doesn't like some of the changes on defense players that they've lost. The system doesn't like Tua Tagovailoa. And so it has them dropping and some regression on defense, where the Falcons on pass defense went from 27th 2 years ago to 11th last year, which is a real improvement. And it sees, you know, the plexiglass principle that it's going to drop again.
Right. And of course, there's bad news on the quarterback front in Atlanta, starting with the fact that their quarterbacks are Tua and Michael Penix. Tua had a flare up of a back issue and he is out of practice. Kevin Stefanski is downplaying it, says that he'll be back sooner than later, but he's not practicing right now. Meanwhile, Michael Penix, who suffered a significant injury last year, gave a very pessimistic press conference recently in which he said, quote, "I can't be on the field unless I'm healthy." He talked about how he can't risk having somebody roll over and hit him in the ankle right now. They're talking about, Penix himself is talking about maybe 4 weeks of missed practice, maybe more. In the meantime, the Falcons had to go out and get Cooper Rush just to get through practices over the next few days and weeks.
It's possible that I'm underplaying in the projection system the Kevin Stefanski effect. Maybe. It's the same thing that I said last year about Mike Vrabel, which is until a guy's done it in multiple places, you don't know how good a head coach he really is.
Right.
And the same might be true for Stefanski, but this is a guy who won Coach of the Year twice.
Coach of the Year twice with that little bit of you got the Browns to be good, but of course then you could get the Falcons to be good. And he won without the best quarterback situations going in, which is also noteworthy. He had Joe Flacco for part of that time.
Crunch Time Sports Advantage says the NFC South is again the weakest division in the league. Could 9 wins be enough to win it this year? I mean, I can't give you a number. I'd have to run a little query in the simulator. But yeah, like my guess is that over half the time, the winner of the NFC South is 9-8 or worse.
7 wins could win it.
If ever there was a division that was going to win, be won by a 7-10 team right now, yeah, it's this one. There are some interesting changes on defense. Caden Ellis went to the Saints.
Yeah,
they lost a couple of their edge rushers, Floyd and Ebikide. They now have Samson Ebukam and Aziz Ojulari, who are reasonable veterans. Avion Terrell, the second-round pick, whose brother already plays for them, which is a really fun story.
Yep.
And it would be awesome if Avion Terrell was really good as a rookie, and then they were both really good, and that would be a really fun story. But the system doesn't like their defense. They lost. The guys they lost were better than the guys they added, especially, I think, Caden Ellis versus Christian Harris. Harris comes in to replace Caden Ellis. I think that's a real loss because Ellis was maybe the best blitzing off-ball linebacker in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, James Pierce may be facing league discipline for his arrest for some violent crimes in January or February. Looks like he's not going to face any significant legal situations, but that doesn't mean that he can't be suspended by the NFL.
I would like to point out that we are rushing through the NFC South faster than any other division. And I think that that is a statement about the NFC South.
Oh, yes.
Because it's possible that one of these teams becomes an actual Super Bowl contender because this is the NFL and crazy things happen. And the Patriots went 14-3 last year. But it seems really unlikely. It just feels like they are all playing for the ceremonial chance to lose to either the Rams or Seahawks in the first round.
It's the automatic bid. They get the automatic bid like they're the Ivy League or the Patriot League going into the field of 64. And I complain often at the Two Deep Zone, sometimes here, that they start to build that way, that these teams seem to build in this way that says, hey, this could be our 10-win team, which is not how you build, say, in the AFC to try and build a contender. But if you had to pick one and say, this team has the story, the narrative of a team that suddenly blossoms and gets to the Super Bowl, which team would you pick, Aaron?
I would pick the team that we actually have in last place based on the projections. And
interesting.
That is the New Orleans Saints.
I would not. I would not, but let's do them.
The New Orleans Saints have the young quarterback and the defense that improved last year.
Okay.
And that is the narrative often goes with those things, the head coach in his second year. We only have them at 6.2 mean wins. And they only make the playoffs 13.5% of simulations.
Mm-hmm.
They rank in the projections 30th on offense, 28th on defense, 27th on special teams, which puts them 31st overall. They are a hot pick for a lot of people. And our projection system is really down on them. Mm-hmm. In part, it doesn't like Shuck.
Oh.
And in part because he's a second round pick who wasn't that good as a rookie. And usually if you're a second round pick and you're not that good as a rookie, you're not that good in your second year. And on defense, the fact that they improved in the second half of last year, it doesn't really care about very much. The defense went from 21st in weeks 1-9 to 8th in weeks 10-18. But as I point out a lot, improving in the second half of the year, you want to believe it rolls over. It doesn't tend to roll over to the next year. And they were much better. They were 8th against the run, but 19th against the pass. And pass defense correlates better from year to year than run defense does.
A lot of what happened with the Saints was a end of year 5-game winning streak. I just want to go through that a little bit. They beat the Buccaneers 24-20, the Panthers 20-17, the Jets, I believe with Brady Cook at quarterback, 29-6, the Titans 34-26. Excuse me, they lost at the end to the a close game to the Falcons, so it wasn't a winning streak to end the season. But you're hearing a lot of one-score victories against weak opponents. If you look at things like Shuck's numbers in those games, it's not like he was out there, you know, throwing 3 or 4 touchdown passes or anything else. They're low scoring, tight wins against other fellow weak opponents. That doesn't sound like something that translates to me as like a bump into the next season.
Yes. I mean, there is some good. Yes. The Saints quarterback turns 27. Yeah. He's an older guy. There isn't a lot of room for improvement here. They do have some nice young guys on their defense. They just lost Brian Breesy,
yes,
probably for the season, who's one of their defensive linemen, was a first-round pick a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what the NFC South is like right now. It's interesting. They're kind of running it back from last year. On the preparation sheet that I do for each one of these podcasts, I do a list of the major players in and the major players out for every team so that I can refer to that, who's in, who's out. The major players who are out for the Saints is 3 guys, and really 2 guys, because one of them is Taysom Hill.
Taysom, DeMario.
DeMario Davis and Alante Taylor, the cornerback.
Alante Taylor. And you could throw Rashid Shaheed from the second half in if you want to throw in another guy. Right. But as usual, they're bringing back a lot of guys. They're bringing back Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
They're bringing back Cam Jordan.
Yep. And meanwhile, here's who's in. Travis Etienne, Jordan Tyson, the first-round pick.
Yeah.
David Edwards, the guard from Buffalo. That's a good addition.
Yeah.
Christian Miller, the defensive tackle, who's a second-round pick.
Okay.
And Caden Ellis. Those were the major additions.
It's not a lot. That's not a lot. Of course, this is a team that had cap issues for a long time. Now, those cap issues have finally subsided. But they still weren't in a position where they could go out and do a spending spree this particular offseason.
So if I feel that the Saints have the best narrative for overcoming their bad projection, which team do you think has the best narrative for overcoming their bad projection?
It would be the Carolina Panthers, because you can see with Tech McMillan rising to wide receiver 1 status, with Phillips coming in, Lloyd coming in, and with Bryce Young taking that step forward that we talked about, that he seems to have been inching towards since the benching in his second season, that team catapulting forward. And when we saw them last year win their weird games, they were winning their weird games against tough opponents. They were out there surprising the Rams. They almost surprised the Rams in the playoffs. That this team suddenly puts it together and gets this team of destiny mentality behind a veteran coach and a quarterback who, again, has that little bit of a let's go guys personality that could rally the troops.
I'll point out that the Falcons also last year had a couple of wins that were like good wins. I mean, they beat the Bills.
The Bills game where that Bijan just went completely ham on the Bills. The Bills will do that, though. The Bills will have these games where they just like look past you.
But the defense played, like, their defense had some games where they played really well and some where they were not that good. And that just feels like the inconsistency of defense right there. When you're not a great defense, you go back and forth.
Right. And I'm sorry, the Falcons lost me in that Patriots game. They lost me forever in that Patriots game at the end with the whole thing with the clapping and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Penix has lost me forever. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like if he finally gets healthy, there's no guarantee he takes the job back from Tua. And there's no guarantee. People have said to me, well, who do you have as the quarterback in the projection? Do you really feel like Penix projects better than Tagovailoa? Like, even if, yeah, maybe he plays the second half of the last year, you know, what is he, like, slightly better? Maybe I feel like it doesn't change the projection really at all.
Yeah, in the almanac, I forget who wrote the chapter. Was it Dan?
Tyler Lochner wrote the chapter.
Tyler. He said, like, the stats were better than the vibes around Penix, and that's absolutely true. The vibes were bad because there were benchings. There were games where it looked like the coaches were sort of giving up on him. They preferred Cousins. And then when you do have this game where at the end he has a chance to win it and he starts, like, throwing the ball away because he's confused at what the Patriots are doing to him, it's not a good look for a second-year quarterback who's supposed to be moving past those kind of mistakes.
Yeah, he still has hope. I mean, I feel like there's more hope for Penix. One of our watchers says, is Penix one of the worst draft picks of all time? I mean, no, because first of all, you have to take a shot on the quarterback. And second, I mean, there are way worse quarterbacks like Jamarcus Russell, I mean, who've been taken at the top of drafts.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's worse than McCarthy, you know, when we come back and look at these things. Right. Yeah, and Russell, like, takes the cake.
All right, that does it. So you feel comfortable with the Bucs?
But the Bucs winning the division?
You feel comfortable with the Bucs winning the division? Yeah.
I think if I had to place a wager on this division, and I will not be doing that, I would probably take the Panthers plus 310. The Bucs are plus 164. I get it. I have this fear that if this team has a slow start, all heck breaks loose. Todd Bowles leaves. Vig is gone by the deadline. Mayfield won't go into like quit mode because he's Mayfield, but like he'll like be mentally ready to move on. There's too much of a fear for that. Whereas these other teams, I can see them battling through the season.
All right, that does it for today's show. Thank you all for joining us. If you are listening to the podcast, remember to rate and review the show and tell your friends all about us. Thursdays at noon, that's when we're live on YouTube. If you haven't picked up the Almanac yet, of course, all this stuff we're talking about, all the previews of all 32 teams, plus the fantasy projections, ftnfantasy.com/almanac. We will be back next week. I believe next week we are doing the AFC South.
Oh, thank heavens.
So a division that is better than you think it is.
That's right.
And is not the NFC South. That will be next Thursday. For Mike Tenier, I'm Aaron Schatz. Check out FTN. See you later.